This morning, the service, the message, what we do is about victory. You saw and heard in those songs about victory. First one was using the term hallelujah. I like to win. I don't know about your competitive spirit, but my competitive spirit likes to win. I love to win. I'm not too crazy about losing. I like to participate, but I really like to win. The picture is the 100 meters. Yep, that's the picture. It's the 100 meters. And it's Millie Rose. And it's Millie Rose. This is sometime in the future. This is Millie Rose. And it's a big meet. And we're all going out there to watch Millie Rose. She's going to run in the 100 meters. We found out this morning that she doesn't run over hurdles. Her coach said she didn't want to run over hurdles. That might be for the sake of the hurdles. I'm not sure why he said that. But it's a Millie Rose. They're lined up about eight of them abreast on the track. The gun goes off, and here they come. And her mother is hanging on the rail, screaming, mostly praying. And we're coming down to the end, and Millie Rose is behind by about a step. And she's inching up, and she's inching up, and she's inching up, and she gets right to the tape, and she breaks the tape ahead of the other gal. Ha! Praise God! Hallelujah! Amen! Yeah, we get excited. Yeah, we like winning. Yeah, we love it. It's the Jones girls playing in a tournament, soccer tournament. And it's tied at the end of regulation. And you know soccer, it goes into penalty kicks. And it goes one penalty kick and then the other penalty kick. The other team scores on theirs. And the Jones girls team scores on theirs. And the other team misses on their penalty kick, and Jones' team misses on their kick, and the tension builds if you've ever watched the penalty kicks in soccer. It's just, who is going to get that last one? The other team misses. Carly's turn. The goalie's ready. Carly's ready. She approaches the ball for the penalty kick, and she's watched that goalie. And the goalie went left last time to block a goal. Carly says, I think she's going to go right this time. So I'm going to kick it to her left. We're all there. Everybody's there. We're going. Dad, he's very calm. I know Troy. He wouldn't even get nervous about his daughter. Mm-mm. No, not much. Carly approaches it. She's going to kick it to the left of the gal. She puts her foot into it. It's heading left. The gal didn't go right. The goalie is going left to where Carly's kicking it. And it's like an eternity. The ball's in the air. It's a good kick. But the gal's getting there. And it goes off her fingertips and goes on the goal. Woo! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Winning. Winning. Yeah. Winning. You can even win against big utility companies sometimes. You haven't yet, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. We love to win. It's a good thing to win. When we come to Psalm 23 today, we're coming to the winning part, the real winning part, the real winning and celebration part. Turn with me to Psalm 23. My doctor said I needed glasses. does look better. Look what we've been through. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You remember some of those cast down sheep that we saw? And God restores our soul because we go through some hard times and we get away from him. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, that's the picture of sheep being led to higher ground, and some are starting to burn the grass down in the valleys, and they're heading up the canyons, and the canyons get steeper and deeper, and there's shadows, and there's dangers, and there's that big trail that they're going to eventually have to go up to get up to the top. They're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's trouble in our lives. Yes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What was that rod and staff? The word of God and the spirit of God are with us and they comfort us. We come today to this last two verses. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, amen, amen. Remember that word? Hallelujah. Some of you are hallelujah people. Some of you like to raise your hand to worship God. That's good. Some of you like to bend down on your knees and worship God. I'm kind of a fist pumper myself. I'm like, yes, praise God. Yes. Now you might, you know, you might not see that so much. You know, but that's me. Patty and I. She is Northern Europe. They don't jump up and down. They just cry. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. Oh, God, I'm just so happy. Others of you go, whoa, yes, yes. And it's fist pumping and it's excitement and it's expression. Feel free to worship and praise God how you want to. You know, if it's raise your hands, if it's fist bumping, if it's whatever it is, that's fine. This is a victory. What we can do is say, oh boy, I'm so excited about my faith. A little more animation, maybe. A little more uplifted in the face. Praise God business. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're winning this thing. We're winning it. Here's the picture that David is trying to paint in these last verses. Now, if you've been keeping up with the book, A Shepherd's Take on the 23rd Psalm by Philip Keller, this is a repeat for you. But if you haven't been, and you read other commentaries about the 23rd Psalm, which I have, oftentimes a commentator will take the sheep imagery up to this verse, and then they'll switch to some sort of a banqueting table, some sort of a food celebration of some kind, maybe the wedding feast or something like that. I think David is staying with the sheep shepherd imagery. Because last time we're getting up into high country. And the tableland, the mesa, the high country. Jesus has taken us up to where he has prepared a place for us. That's the terminology that David is using about his shepherd. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And when you get into the high country, staying with the image there, when you get into the high country, it's going to be the ultimate in food and in feeding and cool nights and strong nutritious grass. It's going to be just the best. But with it is also enemies. In the high country, there are the lions, there are the coyotes, the wolves, there is the bear, there's the bobcat, there's whatever those kind of predators might be up there, they're going to be there. They're going to be in the high country. There's something else that's also in the high country in the summertime, and Philip Keller expresses it very graphically when he writes about this, but he said there's several things, but one of the things that comes is the gnats, the flies, and he names a whole bunch of the kind of flies, the heel fly, the bot fly, which you have both of those in cattle as well, and then he talks about the nasal fly. And what the nasal fly does is it lands on the moist nose of the sheep and lays its eggs and hope that little larva can make its way back up into the passages, nasal passages of the sheep, and grow and do its thing up there. Well, in that life cycle, if it's too infested, if the sheep have too much of that, it drives them nuts. It's irritating. It's going on in their head. And he said that they'll even bang their head against a tree or a rock, trying to get a relief from this gnawing that's on the inside of their head. And if it's too severe, they'll even go blind. Or they'll run and run and try to get rid of this, and it just irritates them to death. And so there's those kinds of enemies. There's the big predator. But there's also these little things. Now, what does the sheepman do for that? Well, back in the day and in our day as well, you prepare an ointment. Back in the day, in Palestine, it was olive oil, sulfur, and spices. And they would rub that on the sheep's head, nose, and face. And that would keep those nasal flies away. That would keep those gnats and everything out of their face. He said they would go from just being irritable and running and just beside themselves with these flies to having that put on and just all of a sudden, whoa, peace. Start grazing. Start enjoying the banquet that God that the shepherd had prepared for them. The shepherd had gone ahead, and he had fixed the water holes. He had maybe pulled out poisonous grasses and herbs, and he had a lot of work to do ahead of time. Same thing on the cattle ranges. It's basically the same effort, going up, getting it ready, getting the salt out, making sure the water supply is good and clean, and get rid of even poisonous things. And that's true here with the sheep picture. Well, what a beautiful picture. You see, what it says is, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies. You see, that's the way life is here on this earth. It's not that God removes the enemies. They're there. He's in the presence of the enemy. We're in the presence of the enemies. It is not the big bad wolf that often is our enemy. We see him out there, and we could name big, humongous movements or people that are anti-Christ and anti-Christian and against this and against that. Yeah, we can see those. But oftentimes, it's the little nasal fly. It's the small little things that are also our enemies. And he anoints our head with oil. He has a remedy for that as well. So he has a rod and a staff for the big predators. He has oil to anoint our heads with for the other things. Yeah. And that's what we find in our own Christian walk. That what are those enemies that we have problems with. Well, for sure, there are major influences against us, our culture and other people's culture trying to influence us and what have you. I understand that. But most of the enemies that we deal with can be seen when we look in the mirror. I was listening to David Jeremiah, about a week ago on one of his sermons, and he said, there's one thing I've learned through my years of following the Lord, that spiritual lessons learned have to be learned again and again and again. In other words, it ain't over. You deal with anger, and maybe God's giving you some victory over anger, and you're doing pretty good, and that goes along a year or two or whatever, and there it comes again. Or maybe it's bitterness, and you've trusted God in a particular area where you've been bitter and angry, and you get some victory over that, but then another situation comes along later, and you see the same thing cropping up again. I was talking to Jeff this week, and son Jeff, who is divorced and a single father of three, and he was relating to me a sermon that had been related to him. And in that sermon, the main theme of the sermon was, life's messy. Life's messy. We are sinful people trying to live with other sinful people in a fallen world. Millie Rose read to us. Even the creation groans. Yeah. This is a messy place. There's temptations everywhere. Comes at all kinds of ways. Our pride. Or our feeling that we have to be recognized or we have to be appreciated. You know, life can be really messy. And sometimes it's severe messy. You know, maybe it's a set of parents that really let you down. Yeah. They make bad and poor choices. And you as a child are stuck with them. You're stuck with the ramifications of those problems. It's messy. What are you going to do about it? Do you grow angry? Do you grow bitter? Do you want revenge? Do you want what is it? You just want to check out? No, it's messy. Wives, you marry Prince Charming and he ain't. You know? It doesn't take you very long to realize that the guy that was standing on that podium and when you walked down with your dad and you looked up to him, that's kind of the picture there, by the way. She's coming down with her father representing her family, and she's looking up to this gentleman up here that she's going to entrust her life to, and she's going to make some vows that going to say basically, wherever you go, I'm going with you. You know, I'm going to support you. I'm going to be your helpmeet for life. And then after she's married to him, and wife goes, ooh, this is a lot bigger chore than I thought it was going to be. And of course, then you have the man who looks at this woman coming down the aisle, looks at this, going to be his bride. And I mean, she is in white, and she's radiant, and there looks like a halo around her head. There ain't. There's no halo around her head. You marry her, you live with her a while, you find out there's no halo. She can be really, really grumpy.
Sometimes you can be just downright obstinate. I'm not talking about personal experiences here. You know, life is messy. Business deals can go terribly wrong. Health. You're the picture of health. And then one day the doctor says, no, you've got an issue. You've got a problem. And you start into this battle on this earth where the whole creation groans because of sin. And we have to live out the consequences of our sin and the sin of others in this world. Messy. Messy. However, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus. So in this, there's not only surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's not just dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. There's surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There's a relationship with Jesus that can be real, and peace and grace and harmony can be in your life in the midst of all kinds of turmoil, sin, and problems. Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 26. This is Jesus instituting what we call the Lord's Supper, or communion, which we will share today. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's go back to the sports scene. The big game for the championship is tomorrow. Biggest championship your school, your organization is ever going to experience. And it looks like the opponent is really, really tough. And your coach phones you up, phones every team member, and he said, come over to my house the night before the contest, tonight. Come over to my house tonight. Everybody goes to the house the night before the contest, and they walk in, and there is a table. There are balloons. There's little whirly things. It looks an awfully lot like a birthday party or some kind of a celebration. And he says, we're going to celebrate tonight the victory that we're going to have tomorrow. We're going to celebrate tonight the victory we're going to have tomorrow. You say, well, we haven't played the game yet. And the coach says, it's all right, we're going to win it. We're going to win that game. You see, that's what communion is. Jesus sat down with his disciples and he said, you got to remember this. Your life is going to get lived out here. Some of you shortly, a short life, James, you're going to preach for a while, but you're not going to preach for very long. There's going to be a number of people that come to Christ, and it's going to be you're going to really have a great impact, but I tell you what, it's going to be kind of short.
and you're going to join me in heaven real soon. Now, he doesn't say all this to this, but he could say this to these guys. He could look at Peter and say, now, Peter, you're gonna have quite a ministry. You're going to travel and preach and start churches, and you're going to do a bunch of wonderful things. Then they're going to get you, and they're going to capture you. He does later tell Peter something about this. And looking at what we see in church history and whatnot, we can say, Peter, by the way, you're going to get crucified, but you're going to be with me. And Philip, you are going to preach the gospel, and thousands upon thousands of people are going to come to Christ. And we look at church history, and that's what happened. But Philip, you won't have to do it too long before you join me. And he's going to look at the other ones, and you're going to go into Southeast Asia. You're going to go into Asia Minor, and you're going to teach. And you are going to go into India, and you are going to go north, and you're going to teach up into Europe. And people are going to come to Christ, but you won't have to do it very long. Because you're going to get run in with a sword, and you're going to get a spear, and John, hate to tell you this, you're going to live the longest, and it's going to be tough. You're going to have a long life, longer than any of these guys, and you're going to be tortured, and a number of things done to you, but. Going to take you a little longer to get into my presence, but this is the job I have laid out for you. He says, but what we're having tonight is a victory celebration. Just remember, wherever you go and whatever you do and whatever I've called you to do and whatever the Holy Spirit urges you to do, whatever situations that put you in, just remember this, that my body was broken for you. I'm going to die on the cross for you. Your sins are forgiven. There is no more anything that is going to keep you from being in my presence for eternity. Plus the fact that you're going to take the juice and you take it, and it's the new covenant. It's the new promise. And that new promise is that the Holy Spirit is going to indwell you and lead you, and between what I've already revealed to you and what the Holy Spirit's going to remind you that I revealed to you, He is going to work in your heart, and you are going to have the opportunity and the ability to have peace and joy and happiness and comfort in the midst of whatever you go through. You are going to be on the high pastures with me. I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I haven't taken your enemies away, but I've got a solution for your pride. I've got a solution for your envy. I've got a solution for your anger and your bitterness. There's a fellow that wrote a song, and we sing it a lot. I want to read a little bit about it to you. The hymn is Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. His next stanza says, I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, Dear Jesus. Listen to this verse. Then I cried, Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. This gentleman was Mr. Bartlett, E.M. Bartlett, Eugene Monroe Bartlett. He was born in Missouri, and he was born in 1883, and he became quite a songwriter, but he also became a businessman, and he started a business with some other fellows to produce gospel songs, and he was quite successful, and he had a wife and two children.
and he wrote many songs. He not only wrote spiritual songs, hymns and whatnot, but he wrote some funny, humorous songs. And I think I read in here that little Jimmy Dickens on the Grand Ole Opry sang one of them. It was very popular. This guy was a successful songwriter. In 1939, a stroke rendered Bartlett totally paralyzed, or partially paralyzed, and unable to perform or travel. Amid such bleak circumstances, he wrote his final and most beloved song, Victory in Jesus. Isn't that cool? It wasn't in all his successes where this song came out. This was when he was paralyzed, hoping that God might heal him, I'm sure. I heard about your healing and your precious blood revealing. An optimistic number that has been sung by millions in worship services and recorded by gospel's biggest names. Bartlett died January 25th, 1941. 2 years after that. Oh, victory in Jesus. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Yeah. Yeah. And if we have physical maladies or whatever problems that we have, we want God to answer those in our way and to heal us and to straighten us up. And you know, God doesn't, sometimes he didn't do it that way. And this guy's thinking back on that. He says, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus. And what did he cry? Come and heal my broken spirit. Come and heal my spiritual life. Come and heal my trust in you. And somehow, Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Wow, that's a powerful song. Communion is a celebration. It's a victory celebration. But it's a victory celebration that takes place while we're still in the war. While we're still in the battle. He says, the verse of this song, did I lose it? Let me see if this is the verse. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. No, it's the first verse. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. I confessed my sin. You see, God wants to walk with us through life. But we have to recognize that we're sinners. And we have to come to him and repent. We have to come and confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that state, we can have fellowship with him. We can have peace with him. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of family, heartache, broken relationships, we can still come to Jesus, confess our sins, and be right with Jesus and have peace and happiness. I hope that whenever we take communion in the future, we think of it as a victory celebration in the midst of the war. Because he says to him, I'm not going to drink this with you until I come again in my kingdom, and his kingdom is coming. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for Psalm 23. And Lord, I thank you for the imagery that you give us as shepherd and sheep, and how that we need to trust you as our Lord, our Savior, our shepherd. You are a tender shepherd. As Phil chose some songs today that we sang, you tenderly hold those that are with young. The picture of your care and your love for us is so graphic when we think of the shepherd and his sheep. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. Children are going to come in and lead us, but right before we do, I want to